Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the program. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 20th of January, 2020. This is the day that America pauses with a national holiday to honor the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We will have a very interesting discussion at 12:30 about Dr. King. We'll be talking about race and racism. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. We're on 10:30, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available. We're very proud of the podcast program. We go all the way back to the first week of January when we launched the program in 2011. The program's available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. For our Monday political face-off, and really any time during the hour, if you would like to join our conversation, the live line number is 790-2040. Each Monday, we do begin the program with the Monday Political Face-Off, a different team of commentators each week. David Eppenheimer is with us. David is the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. David, how are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you, Bill. Good to be here.
And Don Jorgensen is here. Dr. Jorgensen is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Bill.
How's the new year going for you so far?
We're just having a great time. You know, we started it with our grandson.
I know.
And now we're kind of getting back into our normal routine, which means we went to one of our favorite bakeries yesterday.
Mona's Danish Bakery.
Danish Bakery. And I can attest that the cinnamon rolls are still good the second day. I had one this morning.
Oh, boy. All right. Chief Baker and owner Steve will be very happy to hear about that. We'll talk about Mona's in about 10 minutes. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by one of our other great sponsors and been with us pretty much. Well, they're a legacy sponsor. They've been with us since we launched the radio project now into our 10th year. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. David, have you been by Moe's for any of your framing needs?
Well, I'll get by Moe's now that I know they're a sponsor of your show.
Well, thank you very much. Family owned and run since 1985. They specialize in custom frame mirrors. We've got two beautiful custom frame mirrors in our bathrooms. Mo comes out, takes care of all the measuring, of course. Then you decide what kind of mirror you want. They've really done some nice job with the art there on the wall, turned it into a really nice art gallery. But where they really shine is the picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Museum quality work at a very affordable price. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. David and Don, Martha McSally made the front page, not of Section A, but not quite sure why they put it on the business section, but it's on the front page of the business section under the headline, Media Fight Senate Limit on Coverage. And I'm just going to read a paragraph or two from this story. News coverage of President Trump's impeachment trial in the Senate began last week with a Republican senator, that would be Martha McSally, calling a CNN congressional reporter a liberal hack in the halls of Congress and laughing about it later that night during a Fox News interview. And the report goes on to say, Don and David, that hurling insults at journalists is now standard fare for officials at the White House, but Congress, with its protocols and rituals, was considered a relatively safe space for reporters where people were cordial. Cordiality was prized, it said. David, your reaction?
Reaction was, and is, it's about time she put on some gloves and took some swings. CNN is a haven of political hacks, and great. I mean, that she laid it out like that.
But this guy was a highly respected congressional reporter.
But he worked for CNN. You know, the Clinton News Network. I mean, I mean, and, you know, we've got fundraisers going on over this. I just saw a Democrat fundraising email that someone forwarded to me. They're raising money as a result of this. So
with
it's going to be
T-shirts or something?
Just regular donations. So it's going to be a great fundraiser for both parties. And I had a very long discussion with a good supporter, Republican supporter this morning. And we all think that
it's wonderful.
It's a great thing.
Yeah,
absolutely a great thing.
They all think it's wonderful.
Well, of course they do. It's Martha's only chance here. She's running scared. She's running scared from honest questions. And the question was simply about, do you believe you should hear witnesses?
Witnesses, right.
And additional evidence. And she came back with what was clearly a planned stage response for her fundraising ploy here. They had, they're the ones that had the T-shirts out. They had everything out that same day. So this is, again, another attempt for her just to raise money in a desperate campaign. She knows she's losing to Mark Kelly pretty badly. But this is the Martha McSally that we've known about for some time. When she was in Congress, she...
Are you saying there's been other incidents like
when she was in Congress? When she fought against Obamacare, she went in the caucus, Republican caucus, and she's the one that said, "Let's get this effing thing done." Now this is who she is. Continues to duck honest questions. She ducks her constituents. You know, when's the last time we've had an open town hall from Martha McSally? The answer is almost never.
She did go on the Fox show that night, David, and was asked the same question, and she didn't respond.
Well, Martha has suffered a bit from liberal bias in her career, and we all know it's true. These MSNBC, CNN, they're full of bias. And quite frankly, as I said, we all think it's about time she took a swing.
But isn't Fox full of bias too?
Not the same. Okay. No, not in the same way.
Well, it's a different way.
Absolutely not. And you don't have an obligation to answer these questions. And actually, I agree with you, Don. This is the old Martha. This is the Martha we've been waiting to see come back to the fore again. And Republicans in the past 2 to 3 years have been begging for the old Martha, the Martha that got elected to the House.
Well, thank you for acknowledging this is the extremist far-right Martha who's now a full Trumpist. And as Bill pointed out, and she went on the Laura Ingraham show, and you can't get a more friendly host to her cause than Laura Ingraham. And she couldn't answer the question then. So she has no interest in truth or transparency. And sadly, because of this now, really no respect for the institution of the Senate, no respect for Arizona voters.
That's one man's opinion. What Arizona voters need and are dying for is the Martha that was out there pushing the envelope, pushing for a more conservative change in her House district, and now we'll do so in the Senate. And that's what this country needs. It doesn't need you don't want to hear my opinions of Mark Kelly. You didn't ask the question. But this state does not need Mark Kelly in the Senate.
Could you give me a bottom line reason why?
Well, why?
Bottom line.
My bottom line is he's unqualified. He doesn't have the right views, and he will be nothing but a puppet, as you accused Martha of being a puppet of Trump. He'll be nothing but a puppet of the Democrat establishment, Schumer. As if we in Arizona need Schumer's influence over our Senate in Arizona. Nothing could be further from what the voters in Arizona and the residents of Arizona need.
I know some folks have short memories, particularly Republicans, because it was less than 2 years ago that the Arizona voters rejected Martha McSally for the Senate. So it'll be no surprise when that happens again.
All right, why don't we pause right here and talk about my favorite bakery. David, have you been up to Mona's? You heard Don talking that he was there yesterday. I don't know, David, what part of town you live in. Perhaps do you live in the Foothills area?
I don't live in the Foothills, but I'm close.
Okay.
And I've been to Mona's.
Oh, well, good.
And I enjoyed it greatly. No, I live just a couple of housing lots north of the river itself.
Sure.
Which some people say puts me in the Foothills, but it's pretty lowland Foothills.
Well, it's lower Foothills. But anyway, it's not that far because I'm in a similar area there just north of river, and it's not that far, David, to go up to Mona's because it's about a couple of miles from that intersection at Swan and River. Steve, the owner and chief baker, what time were you there, Don?
We get there about 9 o'clock.
Well, that could be, you could do, of course, the breakfast. They're ready with the hot grill. That's the whole reason Steve put in the grill, was to do the breakfast. They're 6:30 each morning, open for breakfast. They're open right now for lunch, but I've been known to have lunch at about 9 o'clock or 9:30 on a Sunday morning. If I feel like that open face hot turkey sandwich, I'll just skip breakfast, David and Don, altogether.
Well, the times I've been to Mona's, I have to admit, were for Republican strategy meetings.
Yeah, sure.
We sit around and...
It's a good place to kind of chat.
Great place for that.
Great coffee. Anyway, open right now for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. David Eppenheimer and Don Jorgensen are my guests on the Monday Political Face-Off. We will continue, and of course, the Face-Off presented by MoesGowrian.com. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's King Day. We have a King Day discussion coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Buckmaster Show. But right now it's our Monday political face-off. David Eppenheimer is with us. David is the current chair of the Republican Party in Pima County. Dr. Don Jorgensen is the former chair of the Democratic Pima County Party. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, Fort Lawn Dodge, and at Moe's. Gallery.com. The first segment of the face-off, we were talking about Martha McSally, Senator McSally in the news. It was also another member of Congress in the news last week, Ann Kirkpatrick, Don Jorgensen, announcing that she has a problem with alcohol, and it was apparently the cause of a pretty nasty fall that she had.
It was indeed, and I'm so proud of Ann Kirkpatrick for recognizing that she had this disease and getting help for it. That's hard for a lot of folks to do. Some never do. And as you know, and as we've been talking about, there's not a single person listening that hasn't had a family member affected by the disease of alcoholism or addiction. And we know that. And one of the things we say in the field, as you know, this is actually my field
for many years. Right.
I've set up and run alcohol and drug programs, consult with them around the world. And it's the only disease that tells you you don't have it. So fighting through that denial, fighting through all that it brings is quite a challenge for folks. And sadly, sometimes it takes a severe incident like this to bring that forth. So I admire her courage in getting help, and we're certainly all hope that the physical injuries heal, because I have no doubt that she'll come back stronger from coping with the alcoholism.
David, is this going to be an issue in the campaign? You've got on the Republican side, I think, oh boy, is it five or six candidates?
Keep counting. It's
more?
It's up to eight.
It is. That doesn't mean they'll all make the ballot.
Oh,
these
no.
are people
no.
who've declared. I mean, it could boil down to three or four of them.
But we have eight.
You got to get signatures. I don't know how many you need.
Got to have signatures and got to be able to raise money.
Yeah.
And we've got eight currently. Just had a new person added to the announced number this past weekend. So we're up to eight, and they're all vigorously fighting to get the opportunity to run against Dan. And what I'll say just initially is sort of what I was quoted in the paper as saying, that we do wish Ann all the best in her recovery. We wish her to heal her physical injuries.
Which were pretty severe.
Pretty severe.
When you get broken ribs, if anybody's ever had a broken rib, that is so painful.
She also broke some vertebrae and had a big cut on her head, apparently.
Whoa.
So, you know, we all hope that she heals from those physical injuries and her psychological injuries that alcoholism causes. I would certainly not put myself in a position of knowing what Don knows. It's his life and career and profession. But I certainly grew up in a family of alcoholics and drug abusers, and so I think I had some living experience in that regard. Actually, I had said, kind of in confidence to various people during the last campaign, I was in the room during the debate at the Jewish Community Center. I thought she looked ill then, said so then, and now I guess we know why. And we'll be mounting the strongest campaign we can with the winner of our multi-person race to see that Ann doesn't get reelected. We have no way of knowing the sympathy vote, whether there will be one or not, or which way that is going to play out. But she does not deserve to be in the House. She's a carpetbagger, does not serve the district. She's turned over the day-to-day and has a long time ago to Ron Barber. He's been the de facto representative from CD2 for a long time.
This carpetbagger issue, Don, came up during the last run.
Well, she doesn't live here.
It came up with McSally, too, who didn't live here until she moved and ran for office. It comes up
but
whenever...
But she moved and ran. Ann has a fake residence in Pima County and doesn't live here. She doesn't live here.
You're hearing the Republican game plan, and thank you for sharing that. But every time someone moves or jumps into the race, we hear that on both sides. So this is nothing new. Ann was elected by the voters in Pima County in her district. So that decision's been made, and she continues to be a resident. She's also a graduate of U of A Law School. She knows Southern Arizona and has represented it well. And coming back from an illness like this, I mean, think about the Ann Kirkpatrick now we'll be getting, someone who's clearer, more healthy, more focused, and I think will represent Southern Arizona in even greater ways than she has to this point.
The recovery from something like this, not only the physical, but the recovery, depending on how long she's had this dependence on alcohol, can be kind of tricky, can it, Don?
Well, it is for anyone. The length of time really doesn't matter so much as the commitment to recovery and the skills and mental strength that you bring to it, which she has in abundance. So I have no concern that she'll be able to recover from it and do quite well moving forward.
Was that a huge step, admitting that the fall was because of the alcohol?
That's the key and the most critical step. And now it's just engaging in that process of recovery. We see this with famous people, with well-accomplished people all around the world, and they all tend to come back stronger, more healthy, more focused. And I think that will be the same for Representative Kirkpatrick.
All right, we've got the trial beginning tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to help the president get reelected? Bottom line, David Oppenheimer.
Absolutely. There is no question that, number one, President Trump is going to be reelected. There is no question that this makes
him... By much? Do you think he'll win big?
Oh, I think he'll win bigger this time than he did last time.
Mm.
There's no question that this helps. This has totally energized the base. The Democrats have proven themselves to be totally disingenuous in this whole effort. And the outcome is known. The outcome has always been known. Pelosi knew that this was dangerous ground. That's why she resisted it so long. And the left, the hard left, forced her hand, and now they're into deeper than they want to be, and it's gonna guarantee President Trump's reelection.
Is he guaranteed to win, Don?
To win in the Senate?
No, to win the election.
Oh, of course not.
As David is saying,
of
that
course
he's
not.
Pretty much gave a guarantee, didn't you, Dave?
Yes, I did.
I thought you did.
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
He'll be taking bets after the show, but he's pretty much guaranteed to win in the Senate because Mitch McConnell has already fixed it. He said that. He's collaborating directly with the White House. It's going to be a Russian-style sham trial.
How long do you think it will go on?
Well, as short as possible. If you saw what McConnell came out with today, he's squeezing the testimony for each side into... each side gets 24 hours, but he's allowing them only 2 days in which to... use those 24 hours, so 12 hours a day, and understand that the trial doesn't even start until 1 p.m. Eastern, pretty much guaranteeing that if they do use all the time, the bulk of it's after people go to sleep, because he doesn't want people to hear the facts.
Mm.
And we knew that coming in. It's just a we wondered how he would try to avoid the facts, because the Republicans don't have them. And that's why we're seeing this White House team of TV lawyers and show ponies coming in, because, and David's right, he wants to turn it into a campaign event rather than a serious trial of the president of the United States who's impeached. And we know that. I think any trial lawyer is always taught, if you don't have the facts, pound on the law. And if you don't have the law, pound on the table. And so we've got a bunch of table pounders coming into this arena.
I'd like to respond to that. What you've got is, and when I say a sham trial, the trial in the House was a total sham. There is absolutely no crime that qualifies as a high crime or misdemeanor that has occurred. The Democrats have pulled off a great piece of political theater. They've said that something that they don't like it. Somehow is illegal. They just, you know, when you're doing this kind of operation, you set forth a thesis, and you say that this is the truth. He collaborated. He talked to a foreign power about helping in his reelection, and that's illegal. Well, you know what? That's not.
No, it's the very definition of corruption.
It is not the definition of anything that's illegal or qualifies as a high crime or misdemeanor. They don't like that he did it. But just because you don't like what somebody does, you can't try them for it.
All right.
So the trial was a sham.
Don, got to leave it real quick.
All right. It certainly doesn't have to be a crime if you have someone who completely corrupts the office of president, who abuses trust and poses a great danger. Not my words, Alan Dershowitz's words.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, bringing the political face off Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don and David, thank you both very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I look to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan. And talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on Martin Luther King Day. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I'm so proud of our sponsors like Green Things and Zocalo Village. Green Things on 13 acres over on River Road, 3384 East River Road. I have so many people who tell me, I was over at Green Things, I can't believe the variety of plants that they have. Greenhouse after greenhouse just filled with luscious, beautiful plants. It's a 13-acre site, but now it's not just plants. It's also the great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, much of it hand-carved, beautiful furniture in their Zocalo Village portion of the 13-acre site. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. With us from the University of Richmond in Virginia is Keith McIntosh. Mr. McIntosh is the Chief Information Officer and the Vice President at the University of Richmond. Keith held a similar position at Ithaca College in New York and here in Tucson at Pima Community College, where he was Vice Chancellor for Information Technology and Chief Information Officer. Keith has 35 years' experience in information technology services within not only higher education, but also the military. What originally started at the University of Richmond as a weekly conversation about race and racism just within Keith's Information Services Division after the tragic events at Charlottesville in August of 2017 has now expanded to a weekly campus-wide discussion about race and racism. Keith, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. It's great to be on your show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and it's good to touch base with you again. When I heard about this program, I thought this would be something very good to talk about, especially today, Keith, on King Day. How has that program at the University of Richmond been received?
Well, you know, first off, I'll say thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. It was one of those things that you never know when something like that. You know, I thought, let's just get this started. Let's have a place where folks can have a conversation about race and racism, because it's one of those topics that folks feel very uncomfortable speaking about and very, maybe there's a little bit of fear around it and they've never grown up with it. And so I just wanted to create a space where folks could come in, have a safe space to learn, educate, first and foremost about themselves, about their biases and their stereotypes perhaps, but then to learn about others and the differences in others and respecting and understanding that. And much to my surprise, you know, the testament to the engagement is the longevity of the weekly conversations. We meet weekly. We've been weekly since August of 2017. We're starting our third year, and I'm just surprised. But interest just continues to grow. And from there, we've been very fortunate to spawn other similar type conversations, because we meet regularly every Wednesday from noon to 1. But others can't meet at that time, so other folks have now picked up the mantle and started having similar conversations on other days and different times, so I'm really proud of that fact.
What subjects, Keith, have you gotten into in these weekly discussions, and have some of these subjects gotten into quite a heated discussion, if you will?
Oh, I can tell you. There have been some, you know, I can tell you. You know, it's one of the things. You're going to be moved. You're going to be stirred at these things. Like, we started with race and racism But we've expanded to other topics. So some of the things we try to do is plan out our year and talk about specific topics. So, for example, we want to talk about white fragility. Or we want to talk about what does privilege, white privilege mean? And, you know, a lot of people may have some understanding, or most folks may have some type of anecdotal or maybe even be ignorant. So we want to really unpack what those topics are. But we also want to give space and time for certain topics that pop up. So, for example, we've talked about the Me Too movement. When that took off in earnest, we really wanted to be able to say, hey, this is something we probably should talk about. How do we feel about that? So we've been talking about that to include things like southern border immigration. So now we talk about pretty much all isms and whatever that may be, to just help us both understand our, from our own personal perspectives, but help us understand each other as better as well.
I understand you're currently reading a book titled What If I Say the Wrong Thing? 25 Habits for Culturally Effective People. What's that book about, and how is that being received by your students?
Well, that book, that book is fantastic. So it's a, you know, first off, it's not a long book. It's only got about 100 and I don't know, maybe 110 pages in it. And really what it says is it gives you, you know, oftentimes when we're having conversations with folks, we might say the wrong thing, or we might be inhibited because we have fear we might say the wrong thing. And, you know, we live in an environment now where it feels like if you say the wrong thing, it could be detrimental to your career, your livelihood. So how do you give some capacity and some space to allow people to maybe mistakenly say the wrong thing, but it really embrace them and still bring them into the conversation? So what I like about the book, it had 25 ways for us to be more culturally effective. So it helps us from a perspective of how to approach a conversation, but also to give us patience and understanding about when folks don't quite say something in the right way. Do we make that a one-strike opportunity, or do we just have a better conversation and say maybe, hey, next time this might be a perhaps better way for you to articulate what you wanted to say.
Could you give me a couple of examples about what some of those 25 items are? Give me a couple.
Yeah, so one of the first things that we learned in the book is, like, just paying attention. Let me pull up a habit that I like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't sound like a cop. And that's habit 14, becoming mutually adaptive. And there are things that, you know, that talked about, basically, and I can say this for myself, being an African-American who grew up in the 60s and the 70s, my mom and dad raised me to be very articulate, to be educated, be well-informed. And I know that when I speak certain places, or when somebody hears me on the phone, I've actually had some people to say, well, you know, they can either look at you with surprise, and they'll say something like, well, you don't sound black.
Oh, boy.
And so from right there, you just go, well, what does black actually sound like? Well, I'm black, so, you know. So those are just some of those things, you know. So somebody might say those things, and so when that statement is made, I have a choice. I can either attack that person or dismiss that person, or maybe engage that person to understand where they're coming from, and maybe help them understand how that phrase that they just said is received.
Keith, how do you react when someone says that? I think our listeners would love to hear what your reply is if somebody says, you don't sound black.
Yeah, and I think this is all relative to the individual. Everybody's journey is different. From my journey, where I'm at in my life, I kind of just said that. I've had people say something. I give a lot of speeches around the country, and a lot of times folks say something similar to me, that you're very articulate. And I always say, well, as opposed to what? Did you not expect me to be articulate? So one of the things I ask people is, like, why did you say that? Just ask the question, why did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just curiosity. I'm approaching it from a point of curiosity, not accusation. But eventually, if I can get the conversation drawn in the right direction, I can bring it back to you. Well, hey, I just want you to, you know, understand that when that question is raised, it really comes off maybe negative and could be offensive, and I appreciate what you're coming from, but maybe perhaps the next time you engage somebody that's different than you, here are some other alternatives of how to approach that subject.
Does it ever come up when you're in speaking engagements around the country, someone may come up to you, Keith, after you've spoken and say, you know, I loved your speech or something, and you don't sound black? Has that ever happened?
Well, they don't ever say that, but they often say, you were so articulate, and I just, you know, I it's a fine line, Bill, to understand where that frame is coming from, where they're coming from. But I often have to ask, why did you phrase the compliment that way?
Yeah.
Because it comes off like you didn't suspect or you didn't believe that I could be articulate. You know, and of all the things that I would want to be complimented on, and I appreciate that, but I would rather you compliment me on the wealth of the information that was presented or the challenge of the topic or something. What did you get from it? You know, that's what I really would rather hear from somebody. So I think sometimes folks are just coming at it from they're coming from a good heart, maybe a little bit of ignorance. And so you just try to use those as teachable moments, I guess, Bill.
All right. Keith McIntosh sticks around with us for a second segment on this King Day. Keith is with us on the live line from the University of Richmond in Virginia, where he is serving as the chief information officer. He's also the vice president of his division, the digital division there at the University of Richmond. Keith, stick around. We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes on the Buck Master Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, King Day, 2020, this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to this beautiful area of the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the listing. So many great places to stay, great ideas there on the website about recreation in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. On this King Day, we have from the University of Richmond in Virginia, Keith McIntosh, Chief Information Officer and Vice President at the University of Richmond. But Keith knows the Tucson area very well. I first met him here on the show when he was Vice Chancellor for Information Technology and Chief Information Officer at Pima Community College. Keith, do you miss Tucson at all?
Oh, absolutely. I miss, you know, it's one of those things, I miss all the people there.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up as a military brat, so I've lived all around the world, but Tucson has a very special place in my heart.
Let's talk a little bit about this New York Times article today. How much racism do you face every day is the title. And I'm just going to read briefly from it. Anti-black bigotry in America can take many forms, some overt and some harder to measure. To find out just how pervasive racism is, a team of researchers tracked the experience of 101 black teenagers in Washington, D.C. for 2 weeks. Now, they reported, the black teenagers, Keith, that they reported more than 5,600 experiences of racial discrimination over 2 weeks. Keith, that boils down to an average of more than 5 incidents per day for each teenager. That's more than 70 over 2 weeks for each of the teens. Does that surprise you in any way?
No, it does not. Absolutely not. I mean, unfortunately, I wish it did, Bill. You know, one of the things I'm very passionate about is diversity, equity, and inclusion. I speak a lot about it, write about it. And being a person of color or a person, I learned in one of the books I read, being a person from a marginalized community or a one-down group, there's a lot of burdens that they carry. And I think those who are privileged don't often have those burdens or those barriers in front of them. You know, so for example, if you're a female, black, lesbian, you have those three identities that have barriers, right? And understanding that their existence, all things are not being equal, because when they experience the world, they have those barriers, and folks have stereotypes and biases toward them for those particular identities. And so I'm not shocked at all. It's unfortunate though, Bill. You know, that reminds me of an article that I read about, and I forgot where I quoted, but they were following people who wanted to purchase homes in a local area. And I'll see if I can find this later. But when they sent, and it was a very scientific experiment, so you could see where the biases actually occurred, when it was a person who was white who went in to speak to a realtor, they got one level of service, and they were shown certain properties.
Uh-huh.
Another person walking in of color with the same affluence,
mm-hmm,
did not get the same experience. Matter of fact, they were directed away from certain neighborhoods on purpose. Right.
Wow.
So that exists today, and I you know, it's unfortunate, but it's true.
Let me talk with you, Keith, about the Race Card Project. You were fortunate enough to meet, I believe it was Michelle Norris. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And this project, tell our listeners about the project, and is it going to campuses around the country right now?
Yeah, thank you. That's the Race Card Project. And for those listening, you can go to theracecardproject.com. That's all one word, the Race Card Project. And Michelle Norris, who is a former NPR news person and an author of the book Grace of Silence, started this, I think it was 2010. And a lot of her focus primarily is in and around campuses. That's not her sole audience, but it seems like the audiences of the college, and you know, from freshman to senior, is the ripe audience, because that generation or that group of people are really open to these discussions and change. And so one of the things about the Race Car Project, you get six words only to describe or to share your thoughts about race, racism, whatever that may be. And it's interesting, and she's collected over 500,000 of these race cards, and she uses those race cards as a way for folks to get, you know, to collect stories, but also a way for conversation. So if you want to have a race conversation in your home or your community, you can look at some of these race cards, and you can get access and exposure to people that are different than you, because you couldn't invite, let's say if you were a white person from Appalachia and you were a black person from the Bronx, you two might never run into each other, but those folks could go to the Race Car Project to learn about one another and really try to understand what that difference is like, just a little. And now she's added backstory. So in addition to the six words on her website, people can write a fuller length story to explain their six words.
Is it easier to talk about race and racism now than it is when you were growing up, or in some ways is it more difficult?
That is a really good question, Bill.
I had to try to stump you on something there.
Yeah, that's not a softball question at all. That's a good one. So my first thought is, as an African-American growing up, this is something I've learned throughout my life, and it's really been illustrated in the last 3 or 4 years, that race was always the topic of discussion in my household as far back as I can remember. And I, you know, as I talk to, this is anecdotal, but as I talk to other people of color, specifically African Americans, we're forced to talk about race. I mean, you care about your children, you need to let them know how the world is. And, you know, you just talked about an article. And so you have to try to prep your kids for these types of things that are happening. You know, son, if you get pulled over, keep your hands at 10 and 2, don't make any fast movements. So you have these types of conversations are occurring. Whereas I think there are other parts of the country and other demographics, primarily, let's say, white, where being the majority, there's a privilege of not having to have these types of discussions. So in one aspect, people are talking about all the time. In other aspects, folks are not. And it's one of those things where I think people are challenged to come together and really talk about it. So in one aspect, I think, yeah, difficult. In the other aspect, I think it's the opportunity is better for us to discuss. You know, we also live in a social media era, and I think a lot of times we talk at each other via social media, but one of the things I want to do with our conversations is sit down across from one another, because when you see each other and you have a face-to-face conversation, it's different.
And that's where we go back to where we began, Keith, and that's talking about how you're sitting down with the students every week and you're addressing these topics. I think that's wonderful. It keeps the dialogue open, and people can come into these sessions at the University of Richmond. There's no pressure, I assume. They can walk out if they don't like what they hear,
yep.
or they can contribute.
Yep.
The point is, Keith McIntosh, the door is open at the University of Richmond to have these discussions every Wednesday, I think you said, during the noon hour.
Yes, that's absolutely. We started with my division of 74 staff. We opened it up after a year to other staff. Then we invited faculty, and now we have faculty, staff, and students. And I love it because having such a diverse group in the room, both in demographics and ethnicity and age and all those different aspects, makes the conversation so rich. And I love the varying perspectives. I learn, as somebody who is vested in this topic and this discussion, I learn something each and every time. And there are times, as experienced as I think I may be in this conversation and this journey, that I make mistakes. So I have to admit my fault, learn from my mistakes, and say, chalk it up to learning, and I'm better for it. So, you know, I tell people, I learned something from Dr. Belisa Gonzalez, and she's a professor at Ithaca College where I was at previously. She had this phrase called get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and I think that's the heart and soul of what we're doing. These are uncomfortable topics, but the beauty and the fruit comes by going through the journey and going through that uncomfort to comfortable and learning.
Keith, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Keith McIntosh. Our discussion with you will be posted very shortly on my website, buckmastershow.com. I think it's a good tool. Perhaps people joined us midway and they'd like to hear more. And I know you'll be sharing this conversation with your extensive network through the University of Richmond as well.
Yes, I certainly will. I want to say thank you so much, Bill, for the opportunity to be on your show and share what we're doing. And I want to say hi to all my Tucson peeps. You know who you are. Well, I'll be back through there. And I'm follow Bill vicariously on all his travels, too.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
That.
Thank you, Keith. All the best to you, Keith McIntosh. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Keith McIntosh, Chief Information Officer, Vice President, University of Richmond. Boy, what a great guy. And again, buckmastershow.com have the full conversation for you. On behalf of John Couch, Engineering and Producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.